right. 1 Corinthians 6, where we're going to finally get to. And now I've given out the outline, but I've also given case studies. And if you notice here, some of you got, I mixed them up. There's two case studies. And part of the lesson that I was reading through here, in fact, let me go there. Case studies. And there are several of each. One of them says broken fingers, broken relationship, and bad deals on wheels. And I'd like to challenge you a little bit if you look through it, because we're going to look at today. The Apostle Paul is pointing out that we taking Christians to church or to court, taking Christians to church, what we want to do. Christians going to court against each other, and imagine Lisa has probably seen plenty of that kind of stuff, being a legal interpreter, shows like Judge Judy. There's several other ones, but I guess they're on Fox Network now. They're going to have one that Judge, whatever her name is, Judge Janine. Yeah, they're actually going to be taking a court case, and they will be trying it, like in an hour's time. Obviously, it'll probably be civil type things, but it'll be interesting. But when you think about that, and I'm thankful that in our church constitution and bylaws, we address that issue. It's not going to stop it. And sadly, it happens. You loan your neighbor, a tool, and he brings it back to you broken and doesn't offer to replace it. Or the neighbor that does borrow it and breaks it and gives you a better one. That's the kind of neighbor you want. It's like Brother Austin. He wanted to borrow a hole saw from me. It wasn't the right size, so he bought one size bigger and says, here, at least I'll know where it's at. Pastor did the same thing. He's doing work on his countertops and needed a router. So he bought the router bit for it. It's now at my house. So I have this tool rental going on. There's no charge for borrowing tools. But you think about that. It happens. People are people. Disagreements happen, and the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter, and I was asking Pastor, I can just imagine what it would be like to have received that letter. Everybody in that congregation, like, uh-oh. Yeah, he was here teaching us, and he wrote this letter to us, and well, I guess we really are a bunch of bumbling whatevers. And we want to think that they corrected themselves. Having been in groups that have actually had to go into places and point out issues that were unsafe or doing things against regulations and safety issues, it's very difficult to explain that to somebody and then to see the results on their face. Well, wait a minute, nobody's been killed yet. Yeah, you said yet. But when you point out where errors are, hopefully people learn from it, and that's what's going on here. So without further ado, chapter 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 1. And this is the one that's going to lay it out. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and what he is presenting here and how it does strike at the heart of humans, that when we use our human side and don't rely on faith in you to guide and direct us in everything of our lives. That we do make mistakes. Things happen. But Father, I thank you that you show us where we can correct those issues. And they need not go outside the church in certain matters. And Father, other matters, when the law does need to get involved, it is important to be honest about that. Father, I thank you now for the truth that we have in your word, that we have it as our guiding light for our walk through this life, knowing that it's preparing us for an eternal life with you. Father, we'll stumble, we'll fall, but we know that you pick us up, you dust us off, and we confess to you our misgivings and our faults and our sins, that you forgive them and you restore us fully back to you. But Father, that only comes to those that know you as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you that you do give us this wisdom and direction. Oftentimes it's hard to hear it. Oftentimes it's even harder to apply it. But yet when we come through that, we're as fine gold coming out of the furnace for the seventh time. We thank you, Father, for that. Now I pray that you'll just give me the wisdom as this is presented. And Father, that as we look at other areas in here that are difficult and hard to present, that you will give the grace, show us mercy, and allow us to draw from the wisdom that you gave the Apostle Paul. And we would be able to use it wisely in our lives, that we would glorify you in all that's done. And we ask it for your Son's sake. Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor, for the memory verse. 1 Corinthians 6:20, very end of the chapter. That's one that I can put in my mind. But it's this whole thing of Christians taking Christians to court. I mean, it's like I say, we've probably seen it, but it's important. The Apostle Paul's pointing out here that you know, these are civil matters, matters that don't require a lawyer or a judge to step in. And there are things where we need to go to court for things, or need to have a judge. Sometimes, I know when we lived in Connecticut, it required a lawyer to be involved in real estate dealings. Still couldn't figure it out, but you know, he was the one that was authorized to hold the escrow funds. Okay, so that was the state law. Sometimes wills need to go to a probate court. State laws sometimes require that for them to deal with that. Sometimes the laws require that, but here, and he doesn't say specifically what the issue is, but you can surmise that it's essentially simple things. You know, your dog keeps going in my yard. I don't want you to put your dog, you know, I want you to take care of your dog. Or, you know, you're making too much racket. You know, anything. You know, we can probably come up with a myriad of issues where people have gone to court over. We had an issue with that in California. Fortunately, they weren't Christians. But, you know, we literally lived, you could jump from my roof to my neighbor's roof. They were flat-topped homes, California modern, they called them. And we went after, what, I think 6 months of calling the police every other weekend to settle down the loud music and extra motorcycles running through our front yard. They just like to make loud music. I never figured out how they could pay their rent because they were doing this almost every night. But anyway, after about 6 months, and you know, the sheriff finally said, you know, let's get the people involved in this. And so we went down and talked to the district attorney about it. And he says, you thought about dropping a skunk down their chimney? I says, I live next door. I don't. But they took it, and he actually called them in and had a talk with them, the couple that eventually lived there. It wasn't until just before we got ready to move that the woman of the house walked out in the backyard and realized, that's awful loud music coming out of that house. And they were the nicest neighbors. And after that, well, found out she was pregnant and didn't want to handle all the drink. Didn't have any drinking going on. Music was like it should have been. And, I mean, the sheriff enjoyed coming out to our house. He says, I enjoy throwing people in the car, you know. But fortunately, they weren't Christians, or at least they didn't profess to be. But in something like that, you just kind of say, well, I've had enough of this. You know, I can only call them so many times. I need to take care of this issue. But here, the Apostle Paul is not talking about that kind of a thing. He's talking about, you know, fellow Christians taking each other to court. And Evan, you know, and it's interesting, in this part of the world, it was common. That was the normal thing in Greece. I read one where one guy laughed in a play that was done about that time, and he pointed to a map of showing where Greece was, and he goes, that can't be Greece. He says, I don't see any lawsuits going on there. And evidently, that was the common practice, and when people got saved, they just brought it with them. You know, take the guy to court. You know, we all think of the person that dropped the hot coffee in their lap. You know, they can't read the warning. Oh, they read the warning, and you know, as they were tipping it on their lap.
Yep.
Warning: content's hot.
Yeah.
Well, I studied that in business law when I was going to school, and our instructor, who was a lawyer, a retired lawyer, he said the only reason that thing, well, not the only reason it went to court, but the finding for it was McDonald's was arrogant about it. They knew somebody would eventually do that. So they had money set aside. So this lawyer pushed, says, you need to make it hurt. Well, here it was. The person should have said, well, you know, I was dumb. I dumped it in my lap. Okay, I'll suffer the consequences. Because that's what the Apostle Paul later on tells you to do if it's against another brother. Maybe that I won't affect the testimony. But now, McDonald's testimony technically was bothered for a while. The person that filed the suit showed their stupidity and, oh yeah, it's hot. you know, don't touch that. That's hot. You know, contents may be hot. Warning. So both people's testimonies were marred. And that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to point out here, is that Christians taking their issues to an unsaved magistrate is showing their stupidity and ruining their testimony. And the judge is going to think, or the person in charge of it is going to think, you know, those Christians, well, they're just dumb. They don't care about each other. They're fighting each other left and right. Well, guess what? We're seeing that amongst churches. You've got churches out here that are doing, you know, any number of things, and, well, guess what? They'll file suit left and right. And I tried to look up how many civil cases have occurred. You know, of course, the newest ones I could find were like 2005 from whatever their journal was. And it was like 200,000 cases. And of that, there were 600,000 lawyers involved. So, you know, what's that joke they say? What do you get with a busload of lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
A good start.
Yep, a good start. You know, but so lawyers are out to make their money. Well, I mean, but you look at like Christian Law Association and the work that they do, and other Christian lawyers and organizations, they're looking out for the church's testimony. And they will, maybe they just have to send a letter out. And that's all that takes care of it. Because a church wants to be a church, and somebody gets upset with them that's not a Christian, that creates a problem. And finds out, well, the church is doing right, or they point out, well, no, the church isn't following all the rules. It's what they need to do. So there's times when that has to happen, but what we have, we'll go back here a few steps, and, you know, we've already seen, as the Apostle Paul's pointing out, that, you know, we need to be team members. That's the number one thing when we look at that. And that's not what's happening here when we get down to the very end. You know, we left with maintain a pure testimony in the last chapter. Well, that's beginning to happen. Here is a family dispute, in reality, what it comes down to. And we've probably heard of families that have taken other family members to court for whatever reason. And they're addressing the actual issues. The Apostle Paul's trying to point out that, you know, you had not to do this. And so when you think about a family, we could probably come up with names of families that have taken other family members to court for whatever reason. But what's it done to the family? It's ruined their image in one way or another. What the Apostle Paul's trying to point out is, you know, resolve it within the church. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to point out here. He says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now, what he's trying to point out here, and these first seven verses, he's pointing out that, listen, you folks are going to judge the world later on. And Daniel referenced that the Christians are going to judge the world. We're going to actually judge angels. You know, I don't think we're going to be the ones that, you know, as the angels walk by, we're going to be the ones pointing it out. But we'll be present there. We will be standing with Christ as those get judged. Because it says we're going to rule and reign in the millennium. So a question comes up following up with this. Is that, did you ever wish you could take a sibling or perhaps a parent to court when you were growing up? I think when we became teenagers, you know, we know everything there is to know, and why are they telling me to do all this? You know, you could probably think back on the circumstances of it, and, you know, it's amazing the older we get that we found out how smart our parents really were. But people, family members have done stupid things. So the other one, the next question would be, how do you think taking a family member to court would reflect on your family name? And, you know, it's well, you can see now, you know, take President Trump, his name, you know, a lot of that stuff is going into court. What are people going to think of him? Well, he's a big multi-billionaire, and he's going to do this and that, and people are going to want to take him to court. Well, his family members aren't taking him to court. It's other people that want to take him to court to see if they can get something out of this. And that's really what it comes down to. Somebody is going to try to get something out of that. And the Apostle Paul's trying to point out, he says, eventually you are going to get to judge the world. He says, so why are you guys fighting over this little thing here and taking it outside the church? It says, verse 3 says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of these things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. So what they're telling you to do is to take the issues that you have and keep them within your church. That's what the Jews were doing. Their disputes, you know, you go back into the Old Testament, the laws, they got guidelines in there, and they didn't take them out to the magistrates. They weren't going to take them before a Gentile or an unsaved or a non-Jew to take care of this. They knew certain things had to go out and go to the king or go outside the church. But things that were family issues within the church, they were going to maintain them in the church and take care of them. In fact, I think like in New York, they have Hasidic courts, I think it is, where they don't try people. They work with the judicial system and try not to bring the church's name into the court unless it broke a law or is required by a statute to be taken into court. So in other words, the judge might rule over this, or he might even be a Jew and looking at the issue, so he can make a recommendation and not taint the issue, the problem. Because the whole goal is to protect the testimony of the church. Why should we go out showing that we're fighting and bickering and you know, like, man, don't go to that church. Boy, those people will sue you at the drop of a hat. You don't want that reputation. Reputation is you want to go to that church so you can learn the scripture, you can get saved, and know that you'll have eternal life. A lot of people look at churches, and that's what they think. Oh man, all that money rolling in there. Those guys, all they get, they're going to stab you in the back the minute you get around to it. And that's what we are trying to avoid. Sometimes disputes happen, but the Apostle Paul was trying to address this, saying, "Listen, even the least in your church should be able to judge this matter. In fact, why don't you send it to them and let them look it over?" And that's, you know, like the case studies here, I read through them real quick, and it's like, okay, it'd be interesting. But the concept, when we look at these case studies, is to look at how do you want to protect the church's name? Not such that you're hiding any kind of, guilt, like what's happening, things happening within the Catholic Church. They're covering a lot of things up in there. Other denominations have had misdealings going on within their church that broke laws, state, federal, ethical laws. Some churches, they get audited and find out that they did unethical financial practices. And, When that's happening, now you're outside of what should be taking care of the church, but still it's going to affect the church's reputation. But if you're breaking the law, don't hide it. It's better to go out and say, hey, this happened, take care of it, this is what we did to take care of it, and then move on. A lot of people are trying to point that out. That's why we have all these weird investigations going on right now in Congress. Well, it appears like they did something wrong. We're going to find out exactly what they did wrong. Scratch until it festers. But the Apostle Paul is trying to make it such that we want to maintain what's going on in the church. So when you look at things like that, there's a variety of things. The church family and secular court. When you look at the conflict is settled with God's wisdom or by God's wisdom. Biblical imperatives guide the resolution. When we look at that from that perspective, the matter is kept internal. The world doesn't need to know that there was an issue amongst two church members. That's between those church members and God. The conflict offers opportunity for spiritual growth. Remember when we talked about that person that was living with his mother-in-law or his stepmother? Paul said, take care of the problem. Keep it within your church. Don't drag them out into the world and show off. Well, in a secular court, what do you have? It's settled by man's wisdom, not God's wisdom. Depending on the judge, he might apply God's wisdom. The process will displease God because he says, listen, you folks need to take care of it yourself. Don't let the world do this. Otherwise, he says, you might as well not even be in a church. The process is a bad testimony. Not only on the person that's issuing the lawsuit, but the one that's affected by it. There are never any winners when that comes out. Yeah, somebody might get a monetary sum, but what about the person that lost? And what was the real thing? Well, this guy had a better lawyer than I did, kind of thing. And we can come up with all sorts of issues where that's come around. The conflict ends in hard feelings with a winner and a loser. Well, I think you really have two losers in the whole thing. There's never really a winner in it. And that's what happens when things go to a secular court. There are times when it has to be done, yes. But I tell you what, arbitration within the church family will take care of it. Maybe it becomes a point where the church says, no, we need to take this outside. We need to have somebody. That's when you look for somebody that is a Christian, like Christian Law Association. Say, would you look at this for us? Do we have a problem here? You're keeping it with God's wisdom. The whole thing is the biblical guide. That's why we put it into our constitution and bylaws. It's important. And that Christians be able to go to one another. Maybe there is an issue between them. Maybe the pastor does need to sit down with the group, or maybe somebody that's familiar with that type of issue to sit down to give godly counsel in it. And that's very, very important for us to really consider. And as we go through that, you know, it's a shameful practice. And that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about here in the beginning. You know, when he started out, you know, it's kind of, you know, like, how dare you have this kind of an issue going on? You know, it's literally a shameful practice. And he's already addressed the divisiveness and apathy about the immoral practices that are going on. So here he's addressing another one where that has caused people to create this practice. And like verse 5, he says, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brother. He's pointing out, said, listen, you guys should know how to handle this. Don't be like the rest of the folks outside your church. Don't be like the rest of the group and partake in it. Drop that stuff away. What they were really doing was they weren't going on faith. They were saved by faith, but they weren't living by it. And like I said earlier, it's a common practice here. So, but from a biblical perspective, why are lawsuits so common? Why would you think that they would be so common in this area? Or even in today's practice. Anybody got an idea? Charles?
Thinking of themselves most of the time.
Thinking of themselves, exactly. Sinfulness. You know, I didn't like what that guy did. You know, and it's such that they're greedy. Some people go, I know that guy. I know where he works. I know what he's got. Man, I could get something out of this. No, that's not the idea. And it's the worst thing. You know, and the Jews, they made sure that what they did, they were taken care of in there. There weren't disputes. If you read the law in there, you were borrowing somebody's ox and he died, well, guess what? You got to replace it. That's basically what it was. If you dug a ditch and the animal fell into it, you get to replace it. Those types of things. It's between you. You don't go down to court and goes, well, you know, you're going to, this guy's going to give me two times back for it. Well, in the law, depending on how it happened, you may end up giving four or five times back because of your willfulness. That was within the church. Those were the rules that were set up. So Paul wasn't chiding him for this, he was trying to get them to think within the bounds of the church. Can we take care of it here? Is it something that should be done here? You need to address it. Because guess what? Just like this immoral thing going on, the city thinks you're a bunch of nuts. In reality. He says, they wouldn't go to your church no matter what. You know, he sent Timothy down there to help kind of work with this issue. He goes back. He says, you know, you guys are going to eventually judge the world. He says, so if you can't judge here, and you get those resurrected bodies, and you're going to be there. Well, do we get a resurrected mind? I hope so. Are you telling us about in Romans 12, renewing our mind? I hope we get renewed minds up there. maybe we'll think along there. But Daniel 7:22 says, until the Ancient of Days has come and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So we will eventually get to judge the world. But, you know, right now, if there's an issue amongst there, we're going to collectively sit down and talk about it. And that's what should happen. You know, maybe I borrowed something from somebody and something happened. And, you know, it's like, oh, how am I going to do this? Oh, you know, he's going to be upset about it. Maybe they sit down and discuss it. Next thing you know, oh, yeah, we can work this thing out. Because, you know, but the brother goeth to law with brother, and therefore before verse 7 says, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother. What he's trying to tell us is, maybe you need to suffer that loss. Maybe you need to just absorb it and move on with your life. How important is it? Is it so important for this piece of the material thing that you had to affect your testimony one to another? Is it going to affect your communication between each other, your brotherly love for one another? That's what was happening in this whole thing, is that Christians were taking each other to court because, you know, for frivolous things. And the Apostle Paul is pointing this out. And the last question I had in closing is, how did Paul describe the Corinthians' practice of taking the practice of taking each other to court? And I kind of looked at this, and, you know, and in verse 7, talked about it, an utterly a fault, or an utter fault. You know, just there's a fault. You know, just realize that, yeah, you're going to have disputes. You're going to have a problem. You guys need to reconcile it. You don't need to take it out and take it away to unbelievers, as it says. You know, why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? In other words, going to a court outside there, that's what's going to happen. The courts aren't going to look on this as a favorable issue. And that's what he's trying to point out. And again, like we said, courts have a purpose. And as Christians, we need to look at each other first before something goes to court and find out, is it beyond the biblical bounds, or that we can't settle it through biblical means? Or is it such that there's been a law broken? Maybe it's violated a state statute somehow. And maybe as a group they need to discuss whether that has to go to court. But if it's, as he says here, and it appears to be frivolous things, churches going to court, splitting over the color of paint, or the type of carpet to put in, or, you know, I mean, I actually saw that happen. The church we were at, we wanted to anchor down the pews, because here, you know, we clip our chairs together because it's a safety issue, and the fire marshal says, you need to do that, because if they were individual, you could trip. Not that this thing will ever get so dark you can't see out of here, but if it was smoke-filled, how many have been in a smoke-filled compartment? Firefighting training, oh, none of you. It's really hard to see. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And yeah, it's only 30 feet to that door. Fill the place with smoke. Doesn't necessarily have to be fire. Just fill it with smoke where you can't see. And one of those chairs is out of place, you trip over it, next thing you know, you've suffocated. That's what he was pointing at. Well, we wanted to do that in this one church. We had a guy that got upset because we were going to drill through the carpet and into the concrete. And he was angry about it. We resolved the issue. We told him, grab the drill and start drilling holes. Okay, he got over it real quick. But that's usually what's going to happen. They're going to get over it real quick. As Christians, we should be able to, if we have a dispute, we should be able to sit down and discuss it. We should be able to pray about it and then move on. And that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to get them to do here. Don't take it outside. Don't ruin your testimony. The world already thinks the worst of us. We want those to come in the door to know that the Holy Spirit's alive here, that we are led by Christ. This is our rule for governing. And beyond that, we want to live a life in cooperation with each other because we want to further the gospel. You can't further the gospel when you're bickering. You know, John R. Rice mentioned, he says, Christians are the only ones that shoot each other in the chest. And that's sad when you think about it. Look at all the denominations, and every one of them are different. Not that we're the perfect one, but we know that if you follow the Word of God, you're going to bring people in. People are going to get edified. People are going to get saved and then get edified. People are going to grow. They're not going to stagnate. And especially when they stay in the Word, they're going to grow. And they're not going to create other problems. It's those that are not in this book regularly that create the problems. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out. He says you need to learn, you need to grow, and you need to quit bickering. Let's pray.